You're not only a dancer, you also a motivational speaker and an empowerment coach. So the first thing I wanted to find out is how all of it came together.
Well, great question. First of all, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here. I took a look at your channel. There's a lot of great content on there, lots of instruction, motivation, and advice to other dancers. So I applaud you for everything that you're doing. as far as the coach and speaker, it kind of came out of my experience with dance. There's so much that I've learned in dance, and there's so much that I was already offering the dance community in terms of seminars. So I originally had started with just kind of dance technique instruction, and then eventually it turned into what's the mindset that you need for social dancing? How do you connect with a partner? And the more I explored those topics in my workshops and also explored them within my own dancing in terms of how do I improve my connection with another person, I realized there's a ton of things within dance that can be extrapolated to general human interactions, relationships, connections, and communication. And that's what led to pursuing it beyond dance. And first, it was the TEDx talk about rejection, the benefits of rejection. That went really well. And then I thought, well, if I can get this message out of it, what else could I get out of it? And that slowly expanded into more speaking gigs, more motivational speaking, and then ultimately, where it's at now, speaking and empowerment coaching.
So it sounds like it all stemmed from dancing to start with.
Absolutely. Yep. Dance is the origin of most of my inspiration, not just on the dance floor, but off the dance floor too.
Would love to hear your story as far as how dancing came along and how you started and what made you want to pursue this as a career.
Sure. I mean, this, I feel like I've told this story in every interview, but very briefly, I saw the movie Dance With Me decades ago. There was a time when I could say years ago, but now it's actually decades ago. And I was really inspired by it. I saw how much fun they were having. And I was like, what is this dance? And salsa dancing. Okay, let me see if I can find something about it. I didn't really explore it further. And then one day I saw salsa lessons on a bus stop. Back in the days when people actually posted things, and but that just tells you how old I am. And tore off that flyer, went to a class, and it was the style of people kind of dancing with the Colombian style, stepping and kicking, that kind of movement. So I took maybe three classes to learn the basics of that. The instructor told me where he actually goes to dance and went to a club, and then that was the end of it. I was at the nightclubs, every party I could possibly attend, and I didn't really go back to the classes. Everything I learned ended up being off the dance floor.
You tell me you prefer Colombian style salsa?
I prefer anything that allows me to connect with another human being in a creative way.
That's
Diplomatically.
nice. Yeah. But you've mentioned that I believe about your section, about you section on your website, you mentioned that you had to make this choice to become a professional dancer, and how. You know what was going through your mind? Because it sounds like you had a decision to make between being in school still, or pursue like an academic route versus being a professional dancer. What gave you that confidence to say, I would like to pursue dancing as a career?
Well, the confidence came from the options that are available. And I think a lot of times when we look at opportunities, we limit ourselves at the options because we think, okay, it's either this or that. And if this doesn't work out, if I decided to commit myself to this particular path and it doesn't work out, then I'm screwed and I lost time or I wasted time. And the way I looked at it, at least at that age, is, well, here's the dance. Here's this passion of mine. I absolutely love it. It brings so much joy, and by dancing and teaching, I'm bringing joy to other people as well. Education, I made sure I completed my undergrad degree. I thought if I really want to go back, I can always go back. I see tons of people who are in their 50s going back and pursuing a master's or a PhD, and that is what kind of allowed me to say, this is an opportunity in front of me right now. Why not? What's the worst that can happen? It doesn't succeed. Oh, well, there are many options beyond that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty brave because it's an unconventional way to take, you know, there's no guarantees in that pursuit, at least it seems to me, because there's no salary attached to that career, right? It's like you have to kind of make your own fortune. That's what it seems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a challenge. I think it's hard to say whether it's more of a challenge now than it was back then. I mean, today you can get exposure to an incredibly large global audience through social media that mm-hmm. you did not have back then. It was very much word of mouth. You know, who knew you, who saw you, who liked you, who wanted you back, or who wanted you to come to their location. And it was a risk. And, you know, with anything in life, like the greater the risk, the greater the reward. And in this case, it was something that I already enjoyed doing. I didn't see myself stopping the dancing element of it. And I thought, if I'm already going to be doing this, if it's possible to make a career out of it, why not?
How did dancing transform you?
Oh, great questions, by the way. It has transformed my mindset the most. And that mindset has been applied to every other aspect of my life. And the way it's transformed my mindset is that it's very open-minded now. Not to say that I was very closed-minded in my past, but dance definitely opened my mind because you create on the fly. You don't even know what's possible. There are so many things that are already been created, but in the moment, you could end up creating something brand new, you know, just through pure action. And then the other element of it is through my career, having traveled to 80 countries now, the different cultures that you get to interact with, the different customs, the languages, the foods, all of these things. You know, when you're stuck in one place, you don't realize that there's so much more beyond you. There's a greater world beyond you. And maybe you look at it as a foreign experience and, well, we're so different. But when you dance as a way to connect with other people of different cultures and backgrounds, you realize that we're all very much the same. And it's created an open heart, an open mind, and an open heart that has helped me in every single area of my life.
Yeah, it seems like a dream career to have, you know?
To a degree. I mean, it's very demanding. Like a physical career, anything that involves a physical activity is a demanding career. Whether you are a dancer, whether you're a fitness instructor, a sports professional, an athlete of any type. You know, these are demanding careers. And with dance, the aspect of it that's even more demanding than perhaps some other careers that are physical in nature is the social element of it. You know, most other careers that are physical in nature, if you're an athlete, you're not necessarily required to run everywhere. You know, if you're a marathon runner, you train for your event and then you can relax with other people. Mm-hmm. Whereas dance, the social aspect of it is you'd be training, you'd be working on your choreographies, you're working on your self-development, you are teaching workshops, you are doing a performance, and then you are dancing for fun, you know? So it's very demanding. And then the schedule of most events can really deplete you physically mm-hmm. and mentally by the fact that you know, it's hard to get a good 8 hours of rest at any event.
Yeah.
And you're lucky if you're eating well.
Right. Right. That makes sense. But it seems to be more of a calling almost versus a career, meaning that you can really connect with your inner self and maybe do something that doesn't seem like a job or even a career, because that's, you can change a lot of lives and you can really be happy inside, truly happy, because you're doing something that you feel like is part of you.
I mean, the calling aspect of it really depends how you want to see what it is that you do, right? Because mm-hmm. every job, regardless of what it entails, is a service. it improves other people's lives. Even a janitor, you're providing a clean, hygienic place for other people that they feel comfortable being in, that they're safe in, right? It seems like such a menial task, but it serves the world. It serves a company, it serves other people. You could see it as your calling if you wanted to. I know some people are truly motivated by their work.
Correct. I think the difference for me when I say calling is something that you feel inside for yourself, because you can say, you know, a lot of things could be calling that could be an act of service for other people. But the fact that I as a human being feel like I wake up and I'm happy to do this thing, whether I am dead broke or filthy rich. And that is something that fills my heart with gratitude and fulfillment every single time. That's what I'm referring to as calling, right? Because it has to be a thing that makes you feel that way.
Sure. Then, I mean, dance is definitely like that. But I also, I mean, I feel like they're not necessarily completely connected all the time, because there are a lot of people who pursue dance as a career, who've made dance a career, that if you speak to them, it doesn't sound like it's a calling for them. Right. You know, it's really just a job. It's just getting through the day versus feeling like it's mission oriented.
Right. Well, because I imagine any time that you do anything monetary related, there are other aspects. Like you said, there's service, there's business aspect, there's marketing aspect. And ultimately, those probably not the things that people dream about doing. You know,
sure. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it really depends on the person. There are some people who love numbers, and that is their call, like, is working, like waking up and working with spreadsheets, you know. So you never know.
Yeah. So throughout your dance journey, what has been the most challenging part of being a dancer?
The challenging part through the dance journey was kind of prioritizing my health, emotional, mental, physical health, because it was one, it's really addictive. Like, you just, once you start, you don't want to stop. And then two, once it becomes a career that is completely dependent on you as an individual being somewhere physically present, you're almost scared to stop. And so there was that element of like finding the right balance and learning how to set boundaries and being willing to give up, or not give up rather, but being willing to walk away if for whatever reason the choices that you make do result in you having less work. And that was probably the greatest challenge, but also the best lesson that I've ever learned.
Yeah, that I think you mentioned in some of your videos and on the website that you've traveled to so many countries, and it's constantly like a lifestyle on the go, it seems. So how do you make sure that you stay mentally and physically well?
The time in between trips is a great time to recuperate. I mean, there used to be a time where I booked back to back, like ridiculous, dumb schedules, booked back to back. Like, I still remember one of them where I got terribly sick, not actually sick because of the travel, but I got sick because I got bitten by a bullet ant, a black ant, on one of the trips. And apparently those things can kill you. And fortunately, I didn't die, but I was really, really sick. And I think that trip was, let me see if I can remember correctly. I think I flew from the U.S. on a Wednesday to Jordan, came back on a Monday back to the U.S., flew on Tuesday or Wednesday to South America, came back to the U.S. on a Monday, or no, on a Tuesday, and then flew out on a Wednesday to Spain, and then came back and went somewhere. Like, it was just dumb. It was a really bad sketch. See, those were the things that I needed to learn how to do and say, yes, this is great, and yes, I'd like to do it all, but I can't do it all and still take care of my health. And so that was one of those challenges. The way I kind of mitigated that in the future was planning, better planning, looking at where I'm traveling, and then also this element of like how I'm traveling. And so I created actually a contract basics course for artists so that they can understand how to negotiate what they need and what they should expect from an organizer when it comes to an event, because sometimes you would fly, 10 plus hours of travel, arrive at 7 a.m. in a location, and check-in is at 3 p.m. and you're stuck sitting in like a little chair or a bench in the lobby, exhausted. 3 p.m. is check-in, and then 7 p.m. is the event. Where do you get to recuperate? So those kind of things I started to include into my contracts and share that with other artists as well, hopefully to help them along the way.
Gotcha. What would make a great dance? So when you dance with someone and when you walking away from the floor, what are the components of the dance that needs to be present to make you feel like, wow, that was an amazing dance?
One component that I think trumps everything else is a smile. Like a genuine smile of enjoyment. I don't care if we made mistakes. I don't care if we sat there doing like a chicken dance or something like that. It wouldn't make a difference what we did if we were smiling genuinely with each other. That alone would make that a great dance. On top of that, if I also have a good connection with my partner, and there's a lot of playfulness and adaptation to each other along the way, that elevates that great dance to really great dance. And if somehow we're also connected with the music and we're able to create, really truly create and connect with the music as dancers individually, but also as partners together, then that's like one of the best dances.
You're really good at that, by the way. Playfulness and adaptation. Like watching your videos, you're doing so well with, for example, I think it was a video with Terry. You're dancing with Terry, and he just disconnects and then start doing shines on his own. And then you try to like mirror him and be playful with him and doing shines as well. How did you develop this style? What was this something that just evolved over time? Were you mentally kind of thinking about those things and processing it before deciding how to approach dancing in that way? How did that come about?
That's a really good question. It really came about by changing my focus from dancing what I wanted to dance and dancing to connect with another person. And in life in general, when you're trying to connect with somebody, you find ways to mirror what they do, their body language, their tone, their facial expressions. And so if you bring that back into dance, well, that involves kind of mirroring what moves that they do and matching their energy on the dance floor. And by approaching dance from an intention to connect with another human being, that opened a world of possibilities for me. Because now I'm not limited to my style. I can change my style with every partner. And I'm not limited to my interpretation or my moves. Once I think about the music as being another element of connection, all of a sudden every song provides me with a new way to express myself, right? And so that intention to connect with a partner and intention to connect with the music, those two things, I would say is what kind of changed my mindset in dance and then changed my dance as well.
That intention, is it something that you develop after several years, or is it something that you kind of started your dance endeavor with?
It definitely wasn't what I started with. What I started with was more about just kind of having fun. I like the dance and it was active and people are moving and it's exciting and that's really just all I wanted to do. Then I got technically very good. I could execute everything quite perfectly, but then I started to lose the motivation because I'm like, okay, well now I feel like I can do everything that people are asking of me. What's next? And that's when I had to switch my intention to something that is ever changing, which is human connection. And so it was an evolution in my dance. But for other people that are starting out, I don't think you have to wait, multiple years before you can start incorporating that into your dancing. However, you still want to focus on fundamentals because without some sort of technique, you can't communicate. You cannot connect with another person, and dance is the fundamentals and the technique are the vocabulary that we use to then speak the language that we want to use to connect with another person.
You mentioned that you got better technically. Which aspect, technical aspect of your dancing you believe was a game changer for you?
My footwork and my connection, my connection at points of contact. So those two things. Footwork, the reason for the footwork is because without the footwork, the body doesn't move. The body is resting on wherever the feet go. And so once I was able to really clarify how I'm stepping and stepping with intention and understanding all the kind of micro adjustments I needed to make to get my balance or to create momentum or create speed or distance or any of those things, it made it much easier for my body to move. Then there's this element of connecting with a point of contact. And for most of us, that is this hand connection, but a point of contact is any point of contact. Wherever two things are connecting with each other. Once I started to read more into that and really pay attention to what was happening in those points of contact combined with solid footwork, those two things are what elevated my dance further. And those are the things that keep me feeling fresh in my interpretation and in my connection with somebody.
Those are very, very interesting things. With footwork in particular, there seem to be this balance between individual work and partner work. What are your thoughts as far as, like, I use myself as an example. I'm a new dancer. I'm coming to 2 years of dancing in total. So I think in the beginning I didn't really realize the importance of individual work. I think it was in my mind, it was all about partner work, learning the patterns, and then being able to do it on a dance floor. But now I certainly see the importance of just individual work. How much time would you say, or just in your case, how much time did you spend, on individual work versus partner work? And do you think one is more important than another, maybe in the beginning?
So to be honest, I didn't spend much time focusing on individual work, training it. Most of my dance, as I mentioned, is on the dance floor. Pretty much everything I learned and I developed on the dance floor, in a dance, during a dance. It wasn't really coming back home and saying, okay, let me practice this or let me practice how to do a shine or how to do my basic or how to turn. That's actually not how I learned. But I used the dance floor very effectively to be present, to analyze every second of my dance, and then immediately take whatever analysis I got, whatever feedback I gave myself, and apply it to the next step, to the next movement, to the next second of the dance. The individual aspect of it, I think they're kind of like it's a cycle. To improve the partner work, you need the footwork, but you can't really improve the footwork properly until you know what the hell you need in the partner work. What's required of you. It's almost impossible to work on the footwork for partner work without the partner work. It's like working on yourself to be in a relationship. Well, there's nothing like being in a relationship. You cannot develop those skills on your own.
You can't do it yourself by
So
yourself.
yeah, I mean, you maybe AI will provide it, but that's still another person, right? That's still another thing that you're interacting with to develop yourself. But I would look at it kind of like there is that element, right, of you kind of have to be developing yourself to bring your best to somebody else. And then once you bring it to somebody else, now you are developing yourself within that partnership. And then when you leave that partnership, you come back and say, what did I learn about myself? What's new? What's different? How could I be better in the next partnership? I mean, that's how I looked at romantic relationships and friendships, and it was the same way I look at dance, except with dance, it just happens every 5 minutes.
That is so interesting because, for instance, taking spins as an example, your spins just, it looks like you can spin indefinitely, on a dance floor. Like if somebody kept spinning you, it literally looks like you can just go on forever with that. And but you're saying you haven't spent a lot of time individually working on that. So you mentioned that you were very intentional about taking mental notes and making adjustments as you dance. That is such a different approach, This is such a different approach because like some of these things are so technical in nature, and be able to do it all on the dance floor while you're dancing with someone. I haven't, like, you're the first one that first person that saying that. Like, I haven't heard that approach previously. So that's very fascinating. Because even using spins as an example, like it seems like a it could be pretty complicated movement, especially when you're learning it in the beginning. And then so you were able to manage to master it, mostly on the dance floor, it sounds like.
Yep, pretty much everything happened on the dance floor. Now, the reason I don't suggest other people to approach it the same way is because, not that I don't suggest, rather, let me retract that. Not that I don't suggest other people to do it the same way, but it's like people want titles or people want the end goal. Like someone might say, ooh, and they see this big house, right, a beautiful mansion. Like, I want a mansion like that. I want these things. I want to be famous, or I want to win first place in something. We all want that kind of shiny, sparkly object at the end. We don't realize how much work goes into getting that, right? And so my approach to dance is unique, and it worked for me. And it's because of who I am. I'm hyper analytical. Like in any moment, even with my online courses and programs, I have my students send me 30 seconds, and I will talk to them for an additional 30 minutes about that 30 seconds of dancing because I see so many things. I can see the way they're breathing. I can see their facial expressions. I know exactly the moment that they were thinking about something to when they freaked out about something, just from little micro adjustments. But that's who I am. That's my approach. If that's not who you are, my approach to dance will not work for you. You know, fortunately, there are instructors out there. You know, fortunately, there are lessons and courses and workshops and classes that we can take to develop our skills. And that's a better approach if you're not going to be 100% present in your own development every single second of the moment, every single second of the dance. You know, and then in terms of developing that understanding or deepening that understanding, teaching allowed me to do that. You know, you really truly become a master when you can teach something. So when it came to developing my courses or delivering a workshop, that's when I would look at what I was doing and really break it down. Okay, like what exactly am I doing? I've somehow internalized the understanding, but how do I now convey this to somebody else so that they can also understand this? And that's where I would like really break down, okay, what exactly am I doing? Well, I'm stepping here, and then how much am I rotating? Well, I'm not rotating 90, I'm rotating 45 degrees. Why am I rotating 45 degrees? If I rotate 90, what does that create versus a 45? What's better? What's wrong, etc. And so that allowed me to further deepen it. And then of course, when I got on the dance floor, now I'm thinking about those extra details from what I was teaching to further improve my dancing, which then further improved my teaching.
Were you ever, I mean, were you always in your element from the beginning when you started dancing, or did you feel that was a particular period of time for you to get comfortable with dancing?
I think it was always in my element. And that kind of goes back into my childhood. Before dance ever became a part of my life, I've always been quite independent and don't really care about kind of social acceptance. So I would always do my own thing. I've never been mean or cruel to anybody else. You know, that's also a motto in my life, like do what you want, but don't hurt anyone else in the process. So I would do things, I would find something interesting and I would go and explore it. I would invite people if they didn't want to come, that didn't change my desire to explore it. And so with dance, I kind of did the same thing. And oftentimes in the very beginning, people are like, what are you doing? You know, that's not the way you're supposed to. Why are you doing this movement? That looks weird. That looks weird. I'm like, why are you watching me? Go dance, you know, stop wasting your time on me. Go do your own thing. So I always kind of just played around and had fun. And that's who I've kind of always been through my life, you know, as a result of being quite independent from an early age.
That's so interesting. Your approach is so interesting. It's so different, you know. I think you mentioned connection to the person is more important than connection to the music in one of your videos. Do you still believe that?
Yep. Because the person in front of you is the one who feels what you do, who feels whether you're interested and invested in them. The music doesn't feel that, you know. I mean, it might be different if you're dancing to the music live and they're watching you and you're like completely disregarding everything that the music is saying and the musicians are looking at you like, what are you doing? You know, do you not see what we're doing here? Like, how are you rolling on the floor to this part of it? It makes no sense. Maybe live. But in general, when we're dancing with somebody, we're dancing in an environment with a DJ and music that a DJ is playing. And that means the music does not hear or connect with us back. Like, it's a one-way connection, whereas your partner is a two-way connection. So the two-way connection should always take precedence over a one-way connection.
How do you feel this salsa music evolved, not music, just salsa dancing, I guess, evolved throughout the time that you've been in the industry?
Oh, so many different ways. well, obviously technology and social media has changed a lot of the ways that we connect and that we discover other people. Before, it was more about travels and that's how you would discover someone. But your discovering them doesn't mean everyone discovers them, only the people at that event. Whereas now, you know, you post a video online and the whole world can see you and discover you. So that's kind of a beautiful aspect of the evolution of the community. In addition to that, I also feel like there are a couple of directions that it's gone that I wish it didn't. And I would say that is kind of more of a performance route now. And groups, performance teams, versus the social dancing aspect of it. So before, I found there were still lots of performance teams. They had student teams and all of that stuff back in the past, but everyone wasn't trying to be a performer. People wanted to dance, and they saw, like, if I perform with this team, that means I get to travel with this team so I can social dance more with people in other parts of the world. Whereas now it's more about, like, you know, who can I perform with so I can get that experience? And now I'm already in the community, when in reality, you haven't stepped into the community as a social dancer yet. And now you have no interest of it because there's this element of depending on how you joined and why you joined and what part of your identity is attached to the performance aspect of it. If you've done something really great on stage, now that's rehearsed. Now you get on the social dance floor and you can't do that because it's improvised. And now you're scared of looking different or losing a reputation that you have on stage on the dance floor. Well, of course you're not going to step out on the dance floor. And that, unfortunately, is what I've kind of seen in the scene. There are like lots of dancers. You know, a dance event could have a bunch of performance teams and people performing. Many of them will end up on the dance floor not dancing. You know, and if it's out of a fear of not looking as good as they did on stage, it's really unfortunate because the beauty is in the expression, and the expression includes both perfect execution and mistakes.
Do you still enjoy social dancing? Do you
love
go out and social dancing? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't go out as often as I used to before, mainly because my sleep schedule has kind of changed. I used to be a night owl, and so staying out until 4 a.m. and waking up at 10 was not a problem. But now I have a lot of early morning coaching calls, projects that I have to work on. So I'm usually up at 6 and kind of in bed by 10.
Yeah.
So I have to really figure out how to manage the going out stuff. And I'm not sure, where do you live, Yuri, by the way?
I'm in Orlando, Florida.
Okay. So in where I live in New Jersey, I'm not sure how familiar you are with New Jersey. There used to be an area where I lived that was very accessible to Manhattan. I could walk to the train in like 7 minutes and then be in the city in 20. Now I am 30 minutes from the train, and then that train takes like an hour to get into the city. So many of the events are in Manhattan. And so, just the commute itself is a deterrent.
Is there salsa dancing opportunities in your area?
Not in my current area, but in New Jersey, yes. And occasionally I'll go to those events. But those events, unlike the ones in New York, they're weekly. Every week there's something. In New Jersey, it's usually like once a month. So if I miss that once a month, it's like, ah, darn, I gotta wait for the next month.
Got you. And majority of people over there, I'm guessing dancing on two, right?
Yeah, in New Jersey, you find a lot of on-one dancers also, though. In New York, mostly it's on two, but in New Jersey, not sure what the exact influence is, but there's a lot of on-one dancers also.
Very interesting. Yeah, I think there's an event coming up in August that I'm considering going. I think it's Bachata and Salsa Festival, and where Fernando Sosa going to be doing his final performance. And I think there's going to be some other international dancers there of like really influential ones, you know. So I was looking at that event. It's in New York City in August, beginning of August. So I can share that with you. I can
Sure.
send
Yeah,
that information
I
to
didn't
you.
even hear about it.
There are so many events.
I
It's
know.
like every month there are events everywhere, you know, and I would like to go to more, but as you mentioned, there's just many considerations when you start traveling so much, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said you're in Florida. You said born to salsa? Is
Born to Salsa is the name of my YouTube channel.
It the same? Because Born to Salsa was an event in Florida like years
So
ago.
what happened with that? I didn't even realize. So when I was creating my YouTube page, I didn't realize that there was, I don't know if it's a company or if it's Instagram page, and I think there's maybe Facebook page as well. So there's a company. I'm not sure if they actually LLC goes by Born to Salsa, but I wasn't aware of it. So I come up with my own name, and then I realized I sold it. So actually, he's one of the organizers for Orlando Salsa Congress, I believe, the guy
Right,
behind that brand.
right.
And so when I learned about it, I was like, oh crap. It's like, of course, you know, like that. And the funny thing, I never knew about it. If I've known that he had this, I would have never chosen that name, just because it would make sense to have exact same name. But I learned about it later, after I already had my YouTube page. So I might still rename my YouTube page, just so it's not the same thing. But
Have you ever watched South Park?
no.
Need to check out South Park. They're great.
Oh, South Park. I thought you said something else. Yeah, I've seen some of it. Yeah.
Okay. There's an episode, I forgot the name of it, but it was interesting because Cartman and these guys had they were looking for a name for their company, which was so that they could earn money, fund, crowdsource their company so that they could do nothing. That was their whole goal. Company's mission was doing nothing. And they're trying to find a name for their website, and everything was taken. And then finally, this thing came up that was Washington Redskins, and they lost the copyright or whatever on it. But it's actually a big football team before that was called the Washington Redskins. And everybody started giving them money because they thought they were Washington Redskins. So, I mean, just saying, I
Maybe it
mean,
will happen
you
for me,
probably get
right?
a, yeah, you probably get a lot of people who come to you just from the fact that they're like, oh, Born to Salsa. I wonder if they're doing any events. And they're like, oh, look at this, they're doing interviews now. Whatever.
Maybe some of that is working out that way, but it's used to be an actual name on Instagram channel, I think, was maybe Born to Salsa. But I changed it to Jürgen P. So anyway, I don't, it's at this point is like name is secondary to the journey. So if there's going to be issues with the name, we'll take care of it. But salsa dancing is a king. So.
I hear you.
Yeah. What's
That's another.
next for you? Sorry, I didn't realize you were.
No, I was just gonna say that I brought that up because I had gone to a Born to Salsa event a couple of
Oh,
times,
you
like a
did?
long time ago. Yeah, that's why I was like, wait a minute, Born to Salsa, is this the same? Like, do you have any connections? That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
What's next for me is really just going forward with the speaking and the coaching. Like, that's really, what is this? Interesting. Did you
I guess
see
if this,
that? It
I
read
guess it's
your.
re yeah, I think
Oh.
if you do this, it will read it. It will read it. So, you want to try it?
Well, all right. I guess my thumb doesn't curve enough. Well, I didn't see your thumb come up, and so I just saw it pop out of your head, and I was like, holy shit, his phone reads his thoughts? This is insane. Like, where have we come to, technology?
AI.
What's next is really speaking, empowerment coaching, leadership coaching, and trying to really take the lessons that I've learned about human connection, interpersonal relationships, and sharing that with other people, because I think there's a beautiful and unique opportunity and skill that we develop as dancers, and it is not common to many other people and many other areas of life, and that is building rapport. You know how many organizations, companies, people depend on rapport with their customers, right, or other businesses to progress, and they can't build it or they don't know how to build it. And whereas us as dancers, we can build rapport in seconds and we can build relationships in 5 minutes,
Yeah.
right? But that is impressive, and that's really unique to the social dance, salsa and other social dances. And that's something I feel like I can actually translate into something that is actionable to people that are not in the dance industry at all.
Yeah, that's part of it is amazing. Being able to connect with someone within minutes, and you can go to any country that has salsa and you don't have to speak the language. In the way you are speaking, you're just speaking different languages. You're speaking salsa language, the secret sauce language.
You're speaking a common language, even though
Yeah.
it's not the native language of the country. Yeah, it's quite amazing. I don't ever see myself stopping salsa dancing. Like, teaching and all those things, maybe there'll come a time where I stop doing that. But social dancing, there'll never come a time where I don't feel love for that, because there's nothing that compares to it, you know, and it's brought so much fulfillment to my life on so many levels. On the dance floor, where it's just like pure creation. How often do you end up in places like that, in situations like that? And maybe you do, maybe you're a creative, maybe you're a writer or an artist, right? And you're sitting there by yourself, but how often do you get to just explore creativity, pure creativity, with another human being, and go somewhere where you could have never gotten by yourself, and neither could that person? It's only the two of you coming together in this moment to that song, in this space, right now, that made that possible. You know, and then you leave that dance and you go into another dance and you get to do it all over again. You get to repeat this multiple times through a night or over a weekend. Like, there is nothing like that feeling in anything else I've ever done in my life. So I'm very, very thankful for like having salsa. And of course, there's these other opportunities, right? Like, how else would I ever get a chance to meet you or connect or talk to you? We share the same passion, right? We
Yes.
want to learn and discover it. And so here we are, like discovering something new with each other, right? Through this common language and passion for dance.
100%. Building connections is one of the best thing about salsa, and because in the end, we're not that different, right? It breaks boundaries between people, I think. Besides creativity, besides excitement, besides connection, all these other things, it demolishes, you know, these preconceived notions, I would say, you know?
Yeah. And that's exactly what I was telling you before. Like, two of the things that salsa developed for me was an open mind and an open heart, because I did not see people as different, as so different as the world might make them seem. Mm-hmm. You know, a language is so different, or a culture is so different. It was just another person I got a chance to connect with in a different way than I would connect with someone else. And each connection is valuable in itself. And each connection brings something unique to my life. And likewise, through the connection aspect of it, I'm giving something back to their life.
It's very special. It's very special in that regard, for sure. You mentioned creativity. Would you say that's your favorite part of social dancing?
Aside from the connecting with someone, you mean? Yeah.
So
I think connection is always the favorite part.
Yeah.
For me, it's the connection that is open and, of course, built on that smile, right? The smile is the first part that makes a dance memorable for me. But a connection that's built on a smile, that's the best part. Creativity is icing on the cake. Of course, I'm always going to add something, but that's, again, going back to who I am as a person. You know, it's very rare that I'm going to sit and have a conversation with someone and not think of a question to ask. You know, if we're talking about something, I mean, obviously in this case, it's a little bit different, but a little bit more of an interview. But if we're just hanging out and talking about something and you say, you make a statement, I will ask something because I'm curious. You know, I've always been curious. As a child, I've been curious. And that curiosity seeps into everything else I do. And so with dance, that's how I build my connection, is by asking questions and saying, hey, I saw what you did. Do you think we could do this too? You know, how do you like this?
So then if a beginner dancer, a beginner lead asks you to dance, he doesn't have a lot of moves, but he goes out of his way to smile, then you're okay doing basic, right?
Oh, hell yeah. I have danced with people off time. I've danced with people who were just all over the place with timing, but they just look like they were so happy. And yeah. Who cares about the time, you know, for me? And I did actually do one of my live chats on this topic. I can't remember which one. It's like we're on 37, I think. I'm going on 37 live chats. They're all 90 minutes long, so I really can't recall which one. But, you know, this is one message that I would want to share with all dancers out there, whoever's listening to this or watching this, is, you know, your level depends on what you know below it. Like, dancing, our levels are not linear. It's not that we go from beginner and then move to intermediate and advanced, professional, etc. It is stacked. It is a vertical ladder. And so if you are able to step up that ladder to advanced, then you need to be able to step down that ladder to beginner. And if you don't have that that view of things, you know, then you're really not advanced. You know, you actually step into another block that's advanced, and you have no connection to anything else. But a truly advanced dancer walks up that ladder and can easily walk it down anytime that is required. So for me, if I want to say that I'm the advanced dancer that I am, and if I dance with a beginner, you know, and all they're doing is basics, well, there was a time when all I did was basics too. So why can't I do that now? I just got to walk down that ladder, you know, step down that ladder and approach the dance on a different rung of that ladder.
It makes a lot of sense. I haven't heard somebody explaining it quite that way before in the form of ladder. I can actually visualize that. And the reason I think it's very accurate assessment is because regardless of your level, when you will end up dancing with a person of different level, you should be able to adjust.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. And I mean, look at it as language too, right? There are people who are literary professors and stuff who've gotten PhDs and speak at conventions and write books and all of that stuff. And their language might be very complicated, but if they're talking to a child, can they not, change the words that they use? Well, of course they can, because they have all of that beginner language, grammar, as well as all of the advanced stuff, but somebody who is some literary scholar and professor who cannot speak to a teenager, who can't dumb things down, or simplify things rather, then are you really as great as you are in your field? I don't know. I would say no.
Well, this is actually a very fascinating question, because there may be some people of extremely high level in their respective disciplines, but I suspect that some of them may lack humility, because I think it also comes into play. You have to be humble, and you have to have a proper mindset to be able to cater to other individuals and to treat other individuals accordingly, right? So it's no longer just about yourself. If you approach this in a selfish manner, you can be great, but can you, there's always going to be this missing piece, right?
It of course. Seems. Well, that takes the whole advanced aspect of it to a different level, which is like leadership, right? The higher you become, the greater your expertise, the more people you're influencing, the more of a leader you're becoming. And true leaders have a sense of humility. So going back to perhaps even the experience aspect of it, now let's say, are you a leader in your industry? Are you a leader in the community? Well, if you don't have the humility to be able to communicate with others, you feel too proud, well, then you're not a true leader either.
Mm.
Like, yeah. I mean, we see that in the dance community sometimes, right? Where there's artists who become famous, who become popular, and all of a sudden can't or don't want to engage with other people because of their level or their status. And yet they are considered leaders in the industry. And it's like, well, are you really? Because that's not my definition of a leader. My definition, and again, to each his own, however you want to define things. But I think the qualities of leadership include obviously building upon your experience, building your skills, self-development, so that you can bring more to the table, communicating effectively. And that aspect of communication requires humility and kindness and respect.
Yes. Yes. Those are wonderful things. Well, I can talk to you all day. This has been awesome, but I definitely want to be respectful of your time. Anything else you would like to add in closing?
It was a pleasure to be here. You came up with really great questions. This is a very structured and organized setup. I appreciate you reaching out and following up. I think those are other qualities that really make for good connections, which is reliability, respect for each other's time, and being as prepared as possible. A lot of us take for granted the connections that we make in dance. We kind of look at it as, oh, well, we have dance in common, and so we can just be frivolous with our time or be casual and careless, when in reality, all of those little small gestures of like replying to somebody, delivering whatever it is that you say, committing to a certain time and showing up at that time, those are really what build connections beyond the dance element, sharing that passion. And so I want to thank you for that. It's really been a pleasure interacting with you up until this point, and obviously here as well. And I'm sure we'll maintain our connection going forward. And for anyone else out there, for the dancers especially, like as Jürgen, do you prefer Yuri or Jürgen?
Either one is fine.
Okay. So as Yuri mentioned, and as I reinstated, is humility. Just be humble through your process and make sure you don't forget that you also started somewhere. And it's not that you have to sacrifice, you know, like just go out there and always dancing with beginners. That's not the message here. But the message is don't push people away because they're at a level where you were before. You know, they're all aspiring to be where you are. And the only reason you got to where you are is because someone gave you that opportunity. And so we should always, as leaders, as people, members of a community, rather, pay it forward where we can, with an exception of also respecting our own desires and wishes and pursuing the things that we want. You know, this is not a sacrificial dance, right? We're not here putting ourselves on the altar and bleeding out for the dance and saying, oh, you know, I'm paying it forward. We're also here to enjoy ourselves. So go pursue what you want. Do it kindly. You know, you can say no. I'm a big proponent of that. You can say no if it's something you don't want to do, but don't do it because you have, because it's an ego thing, an ego-driven decision. You know, so that's a big one, because I think that that's what makes our community fun and inviting and welcoming and safe for people to express themselves. And of course, if you want to find any info about me, magnagopal.com. That's super easy.
Yes, I'm glad that you mentioned it. Yes, your website. Say it again so people can find you if they need to.
Sure. Magnagopal.com. So just my first name, last name.com. If you're interested in online courses, or if you're interested in coaching for either leadership development, mindset development, empowerment, or public speaking, all of that is available on my website. And yeah, social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. My podcast is available on Spotify. I've got my live chats happening every month on YouTube. That's where I address different topics that come up. They're not all related to dance, but also the questions that I get from other dancers and some of my coaching clients. And there's also another podcast that I have with my co-host, Leon Rose, that we do that's very specific to the dance industry, Naked and Counting. So check those out. Everything is available on my website.
Magna, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. This was fun. It was enlightening and it was interesting. I hope we have a chance to do this again. Have a wonderful day.
Such a pleasure. You too.